A really important reality for the organic mind to grasp would be seen in the fact that, while it is true that the single player who is the flute player cannot be the entire orchestra, and the orchestra of his soul is not even manifest in this world in that frame of mind that we call time, it is also true that because time is a dimension of mind, the image and sound that each person sees reflected in the other players in the orchestra of this world is in fact a perception of that part of self with respect to the players that make up the higher reality of the soul. The mind, or mansion of the soul, is like a matrix where each aspect of self interacts and is interweaved in a complex pattern that is simply beyond organic man's ability to even envision. And these interconnections within the matrix are maintained by the laws which control the interactions. And while Jesus would not have been able to explain the matrix of the soul/mind to the multitude of people whose thinking was in no manner prepared to understand, he did convey to them how to cause the laws to begin to work to bring about favorable results for each person. And this is the reason why Jesus, who understood the laws, taught the people, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets," Matt 7:12 NKJ. What you see and perceive in the reflected image of others is in fact an embodiment of the aspect of one's own soul that is an integral part of one's own orchestra. And this is why Jesus used the phrase, "For this is the law and the prophets," which is why Jesus warned to judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, Matt 7, 1-2 NKJ. Judgment is very different than discernment, and discernment is again very different than empathetic discernment. While you are in the practice room, you are able to help another person who plays a different instrument than you do heal and advance their own piece or part of the musical score. Then you are in fact working on the laws that maintains the inner matrix of your own soul/mind, which in every manner improves your own condition. Further, by assisting others, in addition to invoking the law of grace, because of your rendering assistance to another soul/person, you are in fact healing and working on self by proxy. And thus, instead of judgment, you employ empathetic discernment to help another to overcome their weaknesses, and in your actions towards your brother or sister, you not only invoke this same healing upon yourself, but you work on perfecting the laws within yourself, that is, as you do unto others, the same will be done unto you. To bring about the necessary expansion of mind, you will not only have to bring about healing to all aspects of self that can only be perceived in the reflection of others, but you will have to play your own part in such a way that you will open the inner door for the other aspects of self, who are the orchestra members of the soul, to come together in harmony and balance, which will further open the inner doors for all the octaves outside the frequency of the earth to manifest in the higher reality of the cathedral of the soul. And it is the objective of bringing about the great symphony that must be played in the cathedral of the soul, and the laws which return to each of us the fruit of our own judgments of the reflected images we perceive in our brothers and sisters. When the scribes and Pharisees wanted to stone the woman who had been caught in adultery, that is, and Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first," John 8, 3-11 NKJ, what Jesus in fact said was ultra important to understand. The word rendered sin in this instance appears nowhere else in the Gospels, and it should be interpreted, "He who is without sin in any lifetime among you, let him throw a stone at her first." If the law stated that an adulterous woman should be stoned, then why didn't Jesus throw the first stone? As is demonstrated in the biblical foundational mindset, the scribes and Pharisees understood that the laws which bring about the conditions of birth for each person determines the life that they are living in the present by virtue of the deeds and accomplishments of their previous lives, which their soul has lived lives with continue within the higher reality of the soul, by virtue of the fact that what man perceives as time is merely a dimension of mind, see the enigma of time. And the scribes and Pharisees understood that it was impossible to be without sin over the course of the countless lifetimes that each person's soul has lived. Therefore, with respect to the stoning required by the law, this is an allegorical portrayal of fulfilling the requirements set forth by Paul when he commanded to put to death, "Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature," Col 3:5 NIV. to the degree that Paul warned, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Rom 8:13 KJV. Thus, it was one's own earthly nature that needed to be healed, and Jesus' words to the woman is most important, where he stated, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." John 8, 3-11 NKJ. Jesus neither attempted to ignore the sin of the woman by making some excuse for her sin, neither did he in any manner encourage her to continue sinning, and neither did he tell the woman that if she believes in him, Jesus, that her sins would be forgiven. Thus, contrary to modern church doctrine, Jesus in no manner attempted to convey to the woman that so long as she believes, that she will not be held accountable for her sin. What he said is that she should go and sin no more. In the same way, Jesus said to the man who he had healed by making him whole, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." John 5:14 KJV. Which means that if he continues to sin, the laws will bring even graver conditions upon him. That Jesus healed the sinners and condemned the counterfeit religious and political leaders was because the sinners were the victims of their leaders who had led them astray. Moreover, to help and heal the sinner is to help and heal that part of self which the other person reflects back to you. To even suggest that Jesus approved of sin is an abomination, that is, in the words of Paul, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor." Gal 2:17-18 KJV. Those who knowingly sin after coming to the knowledge of the truth are no longer worthy of forgiveness with respect to the laws, that is, in the words of Paul, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." Heb 6:4-6, 10:26-27 RSV. The truth and the teachings of the way is not about compassionate complacency for those who choose to live in a state of perpetual sin, but rather the healing and making whole that overcomes one's lower animal nature, expanding the mind through growth and development by becoming the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, with the objective of becoming transformed into the final temple. This is in part accomplished by working on one's self through the interactions with the reflected images of self that one sees in one's brothers and sisters, with the objective of bringing about the wholeness necessary to complete one's work on self in this world, and while still in the body vessel, open the inner narrow straight gate and play the great symphony in the cathedral of the soul. Thus, the Gospel of Thomas states, his disciples said to him, "When will the kingdom come?" Jesus said, "It will not come by waiting for it. It will not be a matter of saying, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and men do not see it. It is only man's own limitations that make him blind and inhibit him from seeing the reality of all things. This inherent blindness is presented in the words, 'And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled,' which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed.'" Matt 13:10-17 NKJ. That man is deaf and blind to what lies outside of the frequencies of the earth octave is the result of his own organic limitations that he fails to move beyond and overcome. Instead of labeling the spheres of the pattern of the tree of life with the aspects of mind that each sphere represents, let's replace the names with types of instruments needed to play the great symphony of the soul. We have a woodwind section, a string section, the brass section, the percussion section, as well as a few heavenly sections for the pipe organ, the celestial harps, as well as sections for angelic voices, and sections that support a whole assortment of unique instruments that enable our soul symphony to play all the intricate sounds of creation. Within each of the sections, there are an assortment of instruments which not only make up the section, but also are necessary to support the whole. The strings section not only has a violin, but groupings of violins which support movements within the violin section, along with violas, cellos, bass fiddles, guitars, banjos, steel guitars, dobros, and every other variety of stringed instrument, and each one of these entities within a section, within a grouping sphere, must themselves be individually evolved and perfected. The cello player does not switch from life to life as a violin, viola, or even guitar player, no more than the heart changes place with the lungs, which changes place with the spleen, simply because all the instruments of the great orchestra must not only play their part, but must support the section as well as the whole. And different aspects of the soul incarnates into this world at different times, in order to perfect their part with the objective of perfecting the great angelic symphony of the soul. In applying what Jesus portrayed as the key of knowledge to the scriptures, the spiritual, Gnostic, seeker understands that the scriptures are a blueprint of one's own mind and being. In the parable of the two sons, the elder son remains in the kingdom of the Father, which is the eternal world, while the younger son travels into the temporal world, which is portrayed as the far country. The knowledge of the elder son is not suppressed, and neither is it forgotten. Contrary to the psychological model, that which is represented in the elder son and the father is not a subconscious state, but rather, it is the prodigal son who is portrayed as being dead, who is unaware of what is going on in the inner kingdom that he has left. In order to venture into this, the far country which Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, both worlds which exist as dimensions of mind and being, continue to exist simultaneously. And in the parallel analogy of the escape from Plato's cave, which is representative of the outer darkness of the far country, what is represented is the ability of man, who is the soul image which came into being at conception, to travel through the inner narrow gate into the higher reality of the soul. Again, in applying the key of knowledge to the scriptures, the parable of the sower and the seed must be understood on a number of levels, that is, while the sower on the highest level would be seen as the logos when the holographic reality and the divine pattern of creation is understood, the higher soul self becomes the sower of the soul images that become embedded in the body vessel at conception. And this understanding is important, because the condition of the ground within which the seed essence is cast is comprised of the lower three kingdoms of the earth, that is, the consciousness of which is the carnal appetites and aspects of self that must be sacrificed and transformed to become the final temple. And again, we can observe the same error in Eastern thought with respect to the Hindu concept of the soul incarnating in the body of a beast. Again, we see a parallel error which is presented in the above, that is, it is not that the soul incarnates into the body of a beast, but rather, the seed essence image becomes ruled over by the lower animal nature of the body, which, being drawn from the elements of the earth, not only has the consciousness of the earth, but is itself temporal. A reality that Christians would rather not talk about is the statement by one of the earliest of Christian writers named Justin Martyr, where it makes reference to the doctrine of transmutation, that is, the embodiment of a person in the body of a beast as punishment for the misdeeds of a previous life, when he, Justin, answers the question of Trypho, the Jew, and writes, "And what do those suffer who are judged to be unworthy of this spectacle?" Said he, "They are imprisoned in the bodies of certain wild beasts, and this is their punishment." Dialogue of Justin with Trypho, a Jew. Where could such a thought have originated? If the Gospels had not been corrupted, Christians would have access to the teaching which has been preserved in the 88th chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where Jesus states, "Love you one another and all the creatures of God. Yet I say to you, not all are men who are in the form of man. Are they men or women in the image of God, whose ways of violence, of oppression and wrong, who choose a lie rather than the truth? No, truly, till they are born again and receive the spirit of love and wisdom within their hearts, then only are they sons and daughters of Israel, and being of Israel, they are children of God. And for this cause came I into the world, and for this I have suffered at the hands of sinners." What this means is that unless the person achieves the next level of soul birth, see cosmic ovum and sperm, that they remain ruled over by their lower animal nature, which is embodied in the consciousness of the body vessel. And in the parable of the sower and the seed, the condition of the ground is representative of the consciousness and condition of the body, with respect to the objective of sacrificing the lower animal kingdoms in order to bring about the final temple within the body and mind of the seeker. Therefore, it is not that the soul incarnates as a beast, but rather that the soul seed essence remains ruled over by the consciousness of the beast as realized as the reality of the body vessel, which is comprised of the consciousness and elements of the lower three kingdoms. And it is ignorance of this fact that caused the early Christian, Gnostic, Valentinus to confirm what Jesus stated with respect to what is portrayed as only the very few who succeed, that is, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matt 7, 13-14 NIV. Valentinus stating that the vast majority of people have no real continuance beyond the grave, that most seekers will fail, and only a few will overcome and succeed. That Jesus is portrayed as the saver is because he fulfilled the law within himself and became the pattern for all others to embrace and follow in the way. Thus, Jesus taught that those who seek to enter into life must enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. And it is imperative to understand that the word translated destruction in no manner represents what is actually being presented by the interpreters of the Greek biblical text. Quoting the footnote on this word in the Scofield Reference Bible, which reads, "There is no thought in these various words of annihilation, but of something that is ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. That the higher soul self generates embryonic images at the conception of the body, and these soul images then begin the process of evolving through the levels and stages of birth that Jesus portrayed in the words, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God,' means that those soul images that, after emerging out of the physical womb of their mother and into the environment of this world, have begun the next phase necessary in order to bring about the next stage of birth, that you are a thought image which has been generated by your higher soul self, that is, you exist as a projected embryonic seed image which has been impressed into the physical body at conception, is the reason why Paul and the earliest of biblical texts warn that carnal man is not even known by God, see soul image. You exist as a creation of God only by proxy, and by virtue of the fact that you are a thought projected by your soul, and it was your soul that was created by God in the beginning. And thus, the reality of the words to know thyself and a house that is divided cannot stand. That for countless reasons these soul images which enter this world in the bodies of man and woman mostly fail to bring about the objective of achieving the next stage of birth that Jesus said was absolutely necessary to achieve permanence in life, is very much true that they have become ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. As soul images that fail to evolve through the next stage of birth, they are for the most part temporal and can never reincarnate as many in the New Age believe, and neither can they go to glory as the Church promotes. The fact that some people claim to see their past lives have been deceived when they mistakenly believe that they lived those lives and the memory has been suppressed. What they are in effect seeing is the images which their higher soul self has previously generated, failed images, which is the Gospel of Thomas saying 84 are portrayed in the words that, when you see your images which came into being before you, and which neither die nor become manifest, how much you will have to bear. And these failed images which walk, what Jesus portrayed as, the broad way of self-destruction, that is, ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose, neither reincarnate nor go to glory in the Christian sense of the understanding, and yet they remain within the higher reality of the soul and that dimension of mind which man, in his very limited understanding, calls time. When Jesus taught that you must achieve the next stage of birth to enter into the life in the kingdom, this next stage of birth must be accomplished while you are still in the physical body. That you, as the projected soul image, has been inhibited from growing and developing because of the conditions of the earth, and the parable of the sower and the seed is very much presented in the words, "Yet I say to you, not all are men who are in the form of man. Are they men or women in the image of God, whose ways of violence, of oppression and wrong, who choose a lie rather than the truth? No, truly, till they are born again and receive the spirit of love and wisdom within their hearts." Thus, the soul images that are ruled over by the appetites and passions of the lower nature of the body are temporal with respect to the higher reality of the soul, and can neither reincarnate or go to glory, that is. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Rom 8:13 KJV. The whole system of animal sacrifice in the Old Testament is allegory, and it is the lower animal nature within each person that must be sacrificed. And this is why the early church Father Epiphanius wrote concerning the Abianites that they do not engage in the outward ritual observances of the law of Moses, that is, they do not accept Moses' Pentateuch in its entirety. Certain sayings they reject, stating, "Christ has revealed this to me," and will blaspheme most of the legislation. Panarion 30. 18.79. Yes, it is the anointing, Messiah/Christ, that reveals to the enlightened soul the inner meaning of the written word of the scriptures that organic man remains blind to. Epiphanius then quotes the gospel of the Abianites/Hebrews, where Jesus states, "I have come to destroy the sacrifices." Panarion 30.16.5. And when states that we must sacrifice our inner animals, that is, we cannot atone for our shortcomings by sacrificing animals, but we can sacrifice our inner animals or hormones, our lusts, our desires, our beastly compulsions, is this any different than the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of the Nazarenes? For they, making a god of their belly, sacrifice to their god the innocent creatures of the earth, in place of the carnal nature within themselves, and eating of their flesh and drinking of their blood to their own destruction, corrupted their bodies and shortened their days, even as the Gentiles who did not know the truth, or who, knowing it, have changed it into a lie. And this is why Paul warned that the person must put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, call 3, 5 and IV, with the requirement that, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Rom 8:13 KJV. And this is why those who desire to return to the inner kingdom understand the absolute need to observe the original diet intended for man in the words, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Jan 1:29-31 NKJ. In the terminology of the modern self help psychology of the New Age, the ego self equates to the earth consciousness of the body, which G.I. Gurdjieff portrays as the false personalities of the person. While the New Age self-help pop psychology is unclear, Gurdjieff portrays the soul seed embryonic image as the essence self that, like the seed in the parable of the sower and the seed, must be matured and evolved. And thus, it is of the utmost importance to recognize Jesus' warning with respect to organic man's inability to understand anything of any real value, unless the soul image essence self is matured and evolved, as per the statement that nearly every student of the Gospels attempts to ignore, that is, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Mark 4:13 KJV. Or, in the wording of the modern language New Living Translation, "But if you can't understand this story, how will you understand all the others I am going to tell?" What this confirms is that, unless you bring about the conscious development of the embryonic image that was impressed in the body at conception and cease to be ruled over by the earth consciousness of the body vessel expanding your essence self as seen in the words, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times what was initially received, Mark 4, 8 NIV, then you are functioning from an ego false personality perspective, and you will remain, spiritually, dead. See the dead, know nothing. Failure to bring about the higher objectives of life and succeed in attaining the next level of soul birth where you become one with your higher soul self, who is the being of light, is because man has no understanding of his own cosmology of mind and being and, like the prodigal son, squanders away his spiritual inheritance.
But
in order for the prodigal son to evolve to perfection and completion, he must possess free will even when the exercise of this free will brings about his failure to overcome. Yet, in the fruit of each failure, is the wisdom that in time brings about the success of each soul in the omega of absolute light and enlightenment. And this is possible only because each image remains as a building block in the higher reality of the mansion of the soul, and time is really a dimension of mind which, in the words of the physicist, is just quanta kind of living on top of one another without being immersed in a space. In physics, a quantum, plural, quanta, is the minimum unit of any physical entity involved in an interaction. The implications of what is being presented is that each person exists as a single thought in the mind of the soul and as a thought image of your higher soul self, which has been projected into this world. You are presently in this world attempting to evolve this projected thought to a state of wholeness and completion. The soul is neither male nor female. It does not have a physical body as man does, and it exists in a realm where all opposite polarities of the tree of duality are maintained in absolute balance, and the soul, or higher soul self, is the being of light that some people encounter in a near-death experience. The higher soul self does not incarnate into the body and exists across that dimension of mind from the alpha to the omega, which we call time, and all the images generated into this world, which live the lifetimes gaining experiential knowledge, continue to exist within the higher reality of the soul. Thus, it can be said that, but when you see your images which came into being before you, and which neither die nor become manifest, that these images which represent the past personalities the soul has lived as is just quanta kind of living on top of one another without being immersed in a space. Those who walk the spiritual path of the teachings of the way that was revealed to mankind by the historical man Jesus not only are able to come into the presence of the higher soul self, but because time is a dimension of mind within which the soul's past incarnations as previously generated images still exist, the disciple of the way is able to freely communicate with these past images, learning from the experiential knowledge of these lifetimes their higher soul self has lived, and even discussing with them the higher realities that remains an unknown enigma to mankind today. The soul, writes Saint Teresa, is as a castle made of a single diamond in which there are many rooms, just as in heaven there are many mansions, interior castle by Saint Teresa of Avila, and each image which the soul has generated into a life in this realm continues to exist within the higher reality of the soul, very much as a room within the mansion of the castle. And what man calls time is merely the layout of the rooms within the construct of the castle of the soul, which not only continue to exist within the mind of the soul, and by proxy, within the mind of God, and it is the totality of the evolution of the soul that represents the manifestation of the light of the soul in its natural state as a being of light. And in coming to envision this higher soul reality as portrayed by the mystic Saint Teresa as a castle made of a single diamond in which there are many rooms, just as in heaven there are many mansions, these rooms inhabited by each previously generated soul image that failed to bring about the next stage of birth, exist in a kind of matrix that is divided across that dimension of mind that man unknowingly calls time. And in the above words of physicist Carlo Rovelli as just quanta kind of living on top of one another without being immersed in a space, paradoxically, they are both separate, and they exist as one. And it is this higher soul reality that motivated Paul to warn that the Christians of the simple faith would reject the knowledge and higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom as utter foolishness. See mystery. The great house or castle of the soul that encompasses all that we have ever been from the alpha to the present point of the soul's journey, to the ultimate destiny of the omega of creation, cannot be reduced into the lesser limits of organic human consciousness being contained within the three lower kingdoms of the earth. Therefore, While our true self exists exclusively in the higher reality of the soul that does not incarnate into the body at conception, modern Christians are unable to fulfill the words of John 5:24 and receive the living words that permit the disciple to cross over from death to life, because they dwell in the poverty of their carnal mindset and man-made doctrines which inhibit their ability to know thyself.
Thus,
the Gospel of Thomas warns that, but if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty. Whoever finds himself is superior to the world.
Why?
As it states in the book of Jewish mysticism known as the Zohar. According to these teachings, all human souls have a common origin in the spiritual unity of the primordial man, sparks of which form the individual souls. The sin of Adam brought higher and lower souls into confusion. As a result, every soul has to pass through a series of incarnations. The soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation. If it is true that our soul has no sex and our gender varies from life to life in accord with the body vessel we are inhabiting in any given life, then what are we? Certainly not the physical reflection that we see in the mirror. And one of the primary realities that Paul made reference to that could not be revealed to the people of a natural organic mindset, see mystery, was the reality that their true self is a being of light that is pure energy and intellect, and this being of light is our soul self that was created and came into existence in the beginning in the Alpha of creation itself. Therefore, our soul self is the offspring of God, and is that part of ourselves that is eternal, and is the true being that we are. We, as a man or woman born into the present time frame of human existence, began our journey as an embryonic image of our higher soul self, a being of the fourth kingdom, which is the balance between the three earthly kingdoms which comprise of our lower animal carnal natures and the three heavenly kingdoms which comprise our higher heavenly natures, with the objective being to become the final temple that manifests heaven on earth within us. While in this world you are dwelling in duality, dwelling in either a male or a female body, while your higher soul self, that is the true being that you are, does not dwell in duality. Thus, to even begin to get to the reality of your true self, who is a stranger, an enigma to the person you are in this world, that is, your soul, which is your true self, you must overcome the duality in which you presently dwell. And while those of a monastic mindset may feel spiritually intoxicated by tapping into the energy flow of the sixth center in the head, this feeling of endorphin-driven intoxication cannot replace the objective of evolving through the next stages of birth that Jesus taught was necessary for the prodigal son to return to the life and the kingdom. Moreover, because of the condition of imbalance, what the monk imagines to be God is merely the light that is from their own higher soul self that they know little about.